Blog Talk Radio.
About to listen to the
D.O.C.R., the voice of the Canadian Rockies. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madam and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. Hailing from our home base deep under the frozen tundra of the Canadian Rockies in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, home of the Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth. Tonight, we shall examine the world at large, conflicts to finance, religion to fanaticism, riches and taxes, and we invite your calls and opinions.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. It is Tuesday, June the 4th, 2013.
It is indeed Tuesday, June the 4th, 2013. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the VOCR, the first dry day in several weeks in the Canadian foothills. Calgary sure is looking green, though. Wow, what a difference a couple of weeks of rain makes. Tonight, we will review a number of issues which are escalating around the world, but first, let's get to the shout-outs. John from Edinburgh, who listens on the UK network. Great chatting with you on UK Net, John. I do like your political banter. And I do invite you to call live on Skype sometime on one of the VOCR live shows. We will be coming to a time zone near you soon. Melissa from Fort Worth, my shout out for coffee next time around. By the way, it was a great convention. The Southeast Brickies, much better half. Welcome, Beth. And, of course, the Scottish lass, who remains under the weather and is so in need of a Highland masterful rewards of healing. And, of course, let's not forget CNM. Happy birthday, my darling. I still remember you as a four-year-old child, and now look at you, all grown up. Feel free to call any time. Our thoughts go out to you all. Jeeves, tell me, do we have any mail?
You've got email, Governor.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess, after so many weeks away. Susan from Los Angeles. Susan emailed the show expressing her outrage at the demonizing we do against Barack Obama and his cronies. To be honest with you, not finding a specific sentence we could actually use in open radio as a direct quote from the email, we chose to kind of paraphrase her comments. In a nutshell, she's pissed at us. Well, me specifically, because I don't dance to the DNC tune. I didn't drink the Kool-Aid, and I call it the way I see it. Now, Susan, we respect your right to think the way you do. We respect your right for all to have an open and open-minded opinion. We desire intelligent information for discussion and debate, and we invite you at any time to contact the show. Phone lines are always open, and we always keep an open-door policy. Now, remember that we pay for and offer many avenues for those who oppose our views. On air live, for instance, 347-324-3287. The Skype number, 24 hours a day, is 240-696-6030. And, of course, email at opinion@vocrradio.com or go to the website and offer your opinion through there, vocrradio.com. Yet, those who do not agree with what we have to say choose to attack after the fact and by surreptitious means. Now, although I welcome your live debates and we invite your calls pro and against, your tactics are that of small school children in a schoolyard. When you have grown up and you pick up the phone and discuss rationally, we shall have a conversation. Michael from New York, you and I have chatted many times online in some very dubious chat rooms. My online name was, well, that's going to be redacted for your own safety, Michael. Michael goes on to say that remembering way back when discussions on a topic could last for days without abusive content or vulgar wordings. I remember those days. I remember the uneducated being schooled in the Code of Hammurabi, the Phoenicians, Axis of Evil, the theological discussions of the Bible and the Quran, discussions of the origins of man and everything from apples to zucchinis. Where did it go, Guru? Well, Michael, from your email to God's ears, my friend, I've been saying this for several years, and a number of other serious chatters have echoed their displeasure of the quality of chat of late. There is a lot of hate in the world, and internet chat seems to magnify the frictions and frustrations of everyday society. But condense it all into a tight space, like a chat room, and I equate a chat room on the internet to be a randomly semi-controlled explosion. It's not a matter of if, but when the chat room will collapse in its own hateful mess. The agent provocateurs, they'll just move on to the next target. Gail from Toronto, Canada, listen to your show, and I think I've heard a corporate motivational speech from you in Northern Alberta. Loved it then, and love your show. Interesting. Kind of threw me off guard. I wasn't really prepared for that. I have done several speaking engagements. You may be right. Alberta being my base, it's not surprising. You say north, so I expect it was the Grand Prairie or Fort Mac. Both good places, both being included in my favorite places to speak. Glad you took something away from it. Remember, success begins with the first steps forward. Stan from Portland wrote, Guru, listen to your show on the internet and wonder why your shows are so infrequent and with little promotion. I'd love to call in and discuss the many issues of the world, but I can never target when you are on live. How do we get over this, Stan in Portland? The question has come up a number of times, Stan, and is very valid. The schedule for both the VOCR and Night Talk to bring a show of this quality to air is difficult. It takes a dedicated team of like-minded people who produce the content that yours truly narrates. In such, we at the VOCR choose to be kind of selective in what we report, and trying not to get caught up in the trap of having to produce a show each week, which, frankly, becomes overkill. There are a number of daily, weekly, social, political shows on Blog Talk Radio who do an exceptional job at presenting information. The VOCR speaks when it has something to say, and Night Talk Radio investigates those things that go bump in the night when it is of value. As a reader, listener, you would be amazed at the number of professional guests who roam the media world, from one interview to the next, spewing the same mantra. Now, we're continuing to work out a semi-standard on-air schedule, and we will advise as soon as it is resolved, so keep watching the website, vocrradio.com. Thanks for your email. We appreciate it. Charlene from York, England. When are you doing another show live, primetime UK? Charlene, we attempt to be live in varied time zones throughout the year, yet our advanced promotion continues to suck. So So I assure you, as soon as we know, you shall know. Well, tonight we are live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Mountain Time, North America, and the city is awakening in preparation of the annual Calgary Stampede, the greatest outdoor show on earth from July the 5th to the 14th. So we're 30-some days until Stampede, and if you haven't attended yet, you really should. Let's take a quick station break, and when we return, we'll do the sound-off. Oh, yeah, the sound-off from Guru Says.
Mr. Speaker, the President's Justice Department sold weapons to narco-terrorists south of our border who killed one of our finest. The President's State Department lied about Benghazi with false information provided by the White House. The President's Attorney General authorized spying on a Fox News journalist and his family for reporting on a North Korean nuclear test. The President's Justice Department confiscated phone records of the Associated Press because they reported on a thwarted terrorist attack. The President's Treasury Department uses the IRS to target political opposition. The President's Health and Human Services Secretary pressures the insurance companies she is supposed to regulate to promote Obamacare, which is the same law she uses to force citizens to pay for abortion-inducing drugs against their religious liberties. Mr. Speaker, the President's dishonesty, incompetence, vengefulness, and lack of moral compass lead many to suggest that he is not fit to lead. The only problem is that his vice president is equally unfit and even more embarrassing.
Well, that was quite the charge from Bridenstine. He made a strong attempt to get the Congress to get their head out of their ass.
And now, a weekly opinion from Guru Saves.
Last Friday, in Canada, the Canadian Lottomax lottery was to reward me with $50 million when my numbers were called. Or, failing that, at least a consolation prize of $1 million, which neither happened. Chances of it happening, I find out, to be less than being hit by lightning. But I guess one can only hope for the former, not the latter. $50 million. $50 million. What would you do with it? To a hard-working stiff, it is the answer to prayers to many. It is a release of stress for the ongoing existence in an ever more expensive society. So I ask you, what would you do with $50 million?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
You know, throughout my life, I've been pretty fortunate. I've been personally involved in the early days of the internet. My first entry to a World Wide Web was on the British Milnet in the 70s. In my civilian endeavors, I used a Coco 1 with a cassette tape as a hard drive. That would have had to have been around about, oh, I would think somewhere 84, 87, somewhere in there. Bulletin boards like the town crier existed, where you could drop a message and almost instantaneously, well, within hours, receive a reply. Internet conversations were limited to text. And then ICQ and a host of other services arrived. They all climbed on board and provided faster services. Modems became faster from 600 baud to 1200, then to 24, 48, 96, 128, and then it exploded into cable. Computers processed faster with the rise of the Intel chip, and old bulletin boards became blogs, and message packets, which took hours to reply, were flung in milliseconds, absolute milliseconds, around the world. Yahoo Voice and Voice over Internet Protocol, along with other services, they turned text chat rooms into voice text, and the World Wide Web opened discussions of a global nature overnight. News organizations scrambled to keep up with this new instant media, which left print and TV and media well behind. Now, over the years, I have watched the rise and fall of many good discussion groups. I have seen the spin doctors, paid and unpaid, muddy discussion waters to the point of mass confusion and anger. These unruly chatters bent on causing verbal pain, psychological attacks on chatters who do not share their views, and personal attacks demeaning their person, their family, their religion, their social standing, their education, their sexual orientation, and their political bias. Attacks so vicious that many who were offended may never return, silenced by hate and bullying. The problem with audio chat rooms are that the people are anonymous. People create hate personas to burn off the day's stress. Many who end up day after day on the internet chat transpose their reality into the internet society, becoming someone or something they are not or were not. Then there are those who have been thrown on the scrap heap of life by society. These shadow figures which lurk in the murky waters of internet chat, attempting to control those who seek true understanding of social and political events around the world, which shall eventually affect them. The shadowy figures, the old guard in cahoots with political agent provocateurs, resist change. They resist progress. Many are loose associated political assassination squads, brainwashed by their respective parties they hate because it is their last weapon. It is their last weapon against those who think differently. They hate because they cannot control you. They hate because their real life persona has been injured or damaged or broken by real life events. They hate because it is the only emotion they now control, and they say ignorance is bliss. Bullying and personal assaults have no place in discussion on serious topics. The mentality and actions of many audio thugs, if done in real-time worlds, would assure charges being laid and imprisonment from threats and assaults. But on the internet, it is the responsibility of those who have been given the power to remove them, the admins and the service staff. Govern yourself accordingly. If you truly wish honest, intelligent debate and discussion, you must stand up against the bully, and you must do it today. There is no, I can do it tomorrow, I'll do it another time. Do it today.
This is VOCRradio.com.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Peace is made by the fact of strength, economic, military, and strategic. Peace is lost when such strength disappears, or just as bad, is seen by an adversary as disappearing.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
I'm a United States Senator and a Vice President of the United States for one reason, because I was educated.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Could you imagine? He could actually be President of the United States, second in command now, but could step into the place if anything happened. President Joe Biden. Oh my God. As Obama entrenches himself into a second term, preparing the land for another DNC candidate who will do political battle for the presidency in 2016, POTUS remains under fire from the right and the left on a number of issues which could eventually formulate impeachment proceedings. Now, the obvious one, of course, is the recent scandal with the IRS. House committee members chosen from both sides of the aisle are questioning the IRS and its handlers, as well as the injured parties, to determine how deep it goes. It's a damning piece of evidence presented to date. The linkage to the White House is getting closer, and the Fed claim it was a few rogue IRS agents, yet the head of the department in Washington signed off on the letters sent to the right-leaning social activist groups. Withholding tax status until the application surrenders their First Amendment rights and that of private donors is a criminal act. Especially allowing liberal groups quick passage during the last election. Yes, this action was well underway by 2008 and was, in my mind, one of the deciding factors in the election. Remember when Romney's benefactors, his donors, suddenly came to light and he got hit by the IRS? Remember that? Remember when the multimillionaire from Las Vegas was outed as a benefactor of Romney's? Obama and his crew are Chicago bullies. They play dirty. And until Republicans either show the world what they are all about and get equally dirty, the next United States election will be an equal farce as the last. So, what's your opinion? Do you believe the Republican Party need to pull their finger out and get at it? Or is the DNC crumbling under its own weight?
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Now, here's a story that started to bubble up over the weekend. I'm sure the Obama administration are saying, thank God this broke on Friday. But what they don't count on, of course, is the internet picking it up and running with it. The Internal Revenue Service spent $4.1 million on a single conference in Southern California in 2010, paying top dollar for luxury suites and $27,500 for a keynote speaker and tens of thousands of dollars for gifts for the 2,600 people who attended, according to the newly released Treasury Department audit. Now, the audit conducted by the Treasury Inspector, the Inspector General for Tax Administration, he has given Republicans a new reason to be outraged at the nation's tax collection agency, which is already under fire, of course, for targeting conservative groups, for special scrutiny, when applying for tax-exempt status. The House Ways and Means Committee opened hearings on Tuesday to take testimony from the members of the Tea Party and other conservative groups, and they say they were mistreated by the IRS. Now, all of the witnesses received onerous and intrusive questionnaires from the IRS agents across the country. Some even had their confidential information leaked by the IRS to the media, which can have the impact of chilling a great deal of free speech. The IRS scandal has almost erased the furor of the Benghazi scandal. Remember the Benghazi scandal? I most certainly do. And frankly, it's a disappointment that political parties are so gullible that they're quickly distracted. That's about the best way of saying it. Quickly distracted.
The Voice continues after this. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network.
More than 200 years after a former colony won the right to determine its own destiny, the task of perfecting our union moves forward.
For every person who got a job last month, which was not a lot, three people gave up looking for a job.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification calling nights.
So the Benghazi scandal, the evidence to date has enough impetus to talk of impeachment. And there are those stories which claim Obama was bombed and incapacitated when the Benghazi crisis hit. The cover-up by Obama and his culpable sidekick Clinton was more amateur than the Watergate affair. Yet to date, no articles of impeachment have been sent to the House. But according to a number of sources, the Arapo Sheriff Posse now have ears in Washington and a glimmer of light that Congress shall be forced to investigate Barack Hussein Obama and prosecute those who may have faked Obama's eligibility to be president. Now, if that happened, I dare say the America the Beautiful would rise again, remembering, though, that Joe Biden would step into the presidency. So, given the fact that Biden would step in, would you still take Obama out by impeachment?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Now, the birther evidence has been around since Obama started in politics. It's become very extensive, even though Obama spent millions of dollars sealing his school records and passport records and Senate records. The outline of the true Obama is starting to take shape, and it is not looking good for Barry Sotaro et al. Barack Hussein Obama. Stories of his homosexual experiences in college and elsewhere, and claims of cocaine use, and suggestions of dereliction of duty, and the list goes on. These are the ones that we mention. There are so many more that make you question the legitimacy of POTUS.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
In other news around the world, there's no doubt that Syrian government has used sarin gas during the country's crisis. This according to the France's foreign minister. Laurent Fabius said lab tests in Paris confirmed numerous uses of the nerve agent, adding that those who resort to chemical weapons must be punished. Earlier, the UN said there were reasonable grounds to believe chemical weapons had been used. In a new report, the UN Commission of Inquiry on Syria also urged foreign powers not to increase the availability of arms in Syria. This, while Russia announces sale of the S-300 missile defense system to the collapsing Syrian government. Tens of thousands have attended the funeral of a senior dissident cleric in what became Iran's biggest anti-government protest in years. The Ayatollah Jalaluddin Tahira died of the age of 87 on Sunday in Isfahan. He was a local opponent of the hardliners in power in Iran and had resigned from his post in the government in protest. Mourners at the funeral chanted slogans against the government and Iran's supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, describing him as a dictator. Protesters also called for the release of all political prisoners, including the two top leaders of the reformist Green Movement, who are under house arrest in Tehran. Now, this is the biggest such protest in Iran in the last few years, and interestingly enough, the police did not intervene. I guess the authorities are being careful not to provoke public anger only 10 days out from the presidential election. Iran clearly is the next target for the Arab Spring. Out with the old and in with the new. The problem is the new are more radical than the current. Can you say Muslim Brotherhood? What's your opinion? What do you think? Huh?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And as we continue down at the bottom of the hour, we do welcome John and Chris, who are with us tonight. They've been coming in from England and tuning in on North American time, which is difficult for them. We do appreciate them being alive. And they will be carrying our show on a delay feed out into the UK, on the UK net. So thanks for joining us, guys. We appreciate you being there. And, you know what Alberta's famous for besides beef and cattle and cowboys? You betcha. Oil.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is. Black gold, Texas tea.
Black gold, Texas tea, Alberta water. On Friday, the BC government officially expressed its opposition to the Northern Gateway pipeline project, saying it fails to address the provincial environmental concerns, which means simply that the province of BC wants a bigger piece of the profit pie, and for money, they will swallow anything. The province made the announcement in its final written submission to the Northern Gateway Pipeline Joint Review Panel. British Columbia thoroughly reviewed all the evidence and submissions made by the panel and asked substantive questions about the project, including its route, spill response capacity, financial structure to handle any incidents. This according to Minister Terry Lake. And Terry Lake says that his questions were not satisfactorily answered during the hearings. Lake said the province has carefully reviewed the evidence presented to the panel and stated that the panel must determine if it is appropriate to grant a certificate for the project as currently proposed on the basis of a promise to do more study and planning after the certificate is granted, Lake said. He also said our government does not believe that a certificate should be granted before these important questions are answered. The president of Enbridge's Northern Gateway Pipeline Project, John Carruthers, called the BC announcement part of the process. And he stated, British Columbians need to submit their evidence. We need to address it. We need to meet with the people of BC, according to Carruthers. So in other words, no one cares about Clark's Marauders. There shall be a Northern Gateway Pipeline to the Asian market, even if it has to pipe around British Columbia. Watch BC fold with a low pair as they lose billions in potential economic taxable revenue. They can keep hugging their trees, and Canada will no doubt provide the social safety net that saves their asses on a regular basis. From the front page of the Northern Gateway Alliance website, northerngatewayalliance.ca, by the way, it says, welcome to the Northern Gateway Alliance, a coalition of community leaders supporting the regulatory review of the Enbridge Northern Gateway Pipelines project. We believe the benefits and opportunities associated... Are you listening to this, people? We believe the benefits and opportunities associated with projects should be given serious consideration through the regulatory review process. And they go on to say further that if it is approved, Northern Gateway can become a catalyst for economic growth across Northern BC and Northern Alberta. The project would deliver billions of dollars in new capital investment, thousands of jobs during construction, and new skills and training opportunities for young people. The project would also provide long-lasting benefits for First Nations and communities along the pipeline corridor. So we encourage all of those on the proposed pipeline route to check it out. Understand the dynamics of the event and the two possible paths of existence, because you're not being told everything. You're not being told the truth.
The VOCR Town Crier invites you to promote your ideas and opinions on the world at large. We have three methods of contact: live on air, 347-324-3287, or 24-hour voice message line, 240-696-6030, or by email, vocr2012@gmail.com. The voice continues after this. This is VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question there.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence kept taking us somewhere else.
The Rockets our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs, except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991, or a booklet, states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockets on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Did he use the fact that he was black and of Kenyan descent to further his political cause, to further his social cause? Did Barack Obama do that? Absolutely he did, and probably should have, to use every angle you can to get ahead. But now that he is President of the United States of America, he has some solemn oaths which, if he is illegitimate, then the oaths have no bearing. So promising to defend the Constitution of the United States of America may not be all that it's written up to be from a man that cannot swear because he's illegitimate. And here's a story out of Ottawa, which doesn't lead with Rob Ford or Mike Duffy or even Justin Trudeau. The chief electoral officer has told the Speaker of the House of Commons that two Manitoba Conservative MPs must be suspended because of questions about election expenses. The two, Shelley Glover and James Bezan, say they will go to court over what they call erroneous interpretations of the Elections Act. John Enright, spokesman for the Elections Watchdog, says auditors found problems with returns from both MPs' returns and requested changes. The campaigns refused to make the changes, and in these cases, the chief electoral officer will write to the Speaker of the House and inform the House of the situation so that appropriate action can be taken, and that's basically where it stands. Now, Enright says the Elections Act is clear. An elected candidate, a sitting MP, who fails to make a correction requested by the CEO, shall not continue to sit or vote as a member until the correction is made. So the next step is basically up to the Speaker of the House in the House of Parliament in Canada, Mr. Andrew Scheer. The House is sovereign. The House does need to decide. You know, Enright and the boys have informed them that is what the legislation dictates. And Bezan said in a statement that Elections Canada has unfairly changed the rules. Now, apparently, according to Bezan, Elections Canada approved his campaign returns for 2006 and 2008 elections, but have now changed their interpretation, which is not consistent with the Act's provisions. Elections Canada is not being fair or reasonable in the application of the Act, according to Bezan. He said, my campaign has complied with the Elections Canada Act, and this is an accounting dispute between the campaign and Elections Canada. Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of think I know who's going to win.
This is VOCRradio.com.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Peace is made by the fact of strength, economic, military, and strategic. Peace is lost when such strength disappears, or just as bad, is seen by an adversary as disappearing.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
I'm a United States Senator and a Vice President of the United States for one reason, because I was educated. I was educated.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Hoo-hoo, kiddies, President Joe Biden, I shudder at the thought. You know, there's been a huge talk on the social media sites about the UN arms treaties, which Obama intends apparently to sign during summer recess against the wishes of Congress. Well, our very own staunch conservative John Baird said it best here in Canada. John Baird says Canada not among the 60 nations signing landmark arms treaty just yet. Now, Canada isn't saying whether it will join more than 60 other countries in signing the landmark treaty. This is to regulate the multi-billion dollar global arms trade. The federal government hasn't decided whether it agrees with the UN's arms trade treaty, despite having voted to move it ahead in the first place. Foreign Affairs Minister John Baird is heading the game plan on this. He said, "We believe that any treaty regarding the sale of munitions that helps move the international community closer to world-leading standards is a good thing." He said this during question period. And that those who ratify the treaty will have to establish national regulations to control the transfer of conventional arms and components and to regulate arms brokers, though it claims it won't control the domestic uses of weaponry in any country. The treaty also prohibits the transfer of conventional weapons if they violate arms embargoes or if they promote acts of genocide, crimes against humanity, or war crimes, and if they could be used in attacks on civilians or civilian buildings, such as schools and hospitals, they are also prohibited. In defending the decision not to sign immediately, Baird suggested the government sees a potential link between signing onto the treaty and the now abolished long gun registry in Canada. He accused the opposition of trying to find a backdoor to setting up the system by suggesting Canada should sign on, a suggestion the New Democrats call ridiculous, but really believe in. Now, if Obama has not created enough turbidity in the American political arena, President Barack Obama nominated Patricia Ann Millett and Cornelia Pillard and Robert Leon Wilkins to the understaffed Federal Appeals Court in Washington on Tuesday during an announcement in the White House Rose Garden. The nominations have set up an aggressive push against Senate Republicans who are trying to keep him from naming any more judges to the influential circuit. Now, if you read all of the newsprints, probably the closest one coming up is AP. They seem to be doing a fairly good job following the story. According to the AP, it's the first time Obama has ever held an event to announce nominees to the federal bench, other than the Supreme Court, an indication of the pressure the president is trying to put on the Senate to approve his picks. Obama criticized delays in votes on his prior judicial nominees as political and said that for the good of the American people, it has to stop. He says too much of the people's business is at stake. Why, you got that right. You got that right. As one of our members down in the virtual studio types, Obamacare handed over to the IRS is insane. And it is insane. You are putting the fox in the hen house. Because what will you have to declare to get your Obamacare at XYZ prices? Oh yeah, income. And what do you have to declare to the IRS so they may tax you justly? Oh yeah, income. Yeah, God help us all. But anyway, the nominees, Cornelia Pillard is a Georgetown University law professor. Patricia Ann Millett is an appeals lawyer out of Washington. And Robert Leon Wilkins is a judge on the U.S. District Court in Washington. So Obama doesn't have much left to pressure anyone with. You know, he's losing Holder. We all know Holder is going to throw himself on the sacrificial sword to help his leader. You know, he lost Hillary Clinton. He never had Bill. And the story is coming out now regarding the deal that Bill Clinton has with Barack Obama is that Barack Obama will support Hillary Clinton if she makes a 2016 run. We'll see how he can do that outside of an impeachment hearing. So he's lost Clinton. Apparently she's going to release a tell-all book here, not only talking about her lesbian activities, but also talking about what a lunatic Barack Hussein Obama really is. and start dishing the dirt. Remember, Clinton was the one that claimed to have the file folder of all of the dirty on Barack Hussein Obama, and apparently never got used in the election. I wonder where it is now. Obama's lost Pelosi. She's just a bad smell. You know, the IRS is not going to help anymore. You know, they're going to be watched closer than a bigamist husband. And the media, well, they're just out for blood. You have pissed off the media, Barack Hussein Obama. You have taken something from them that they held most holy, even though they were prostituting for it. And that's legitimacy. The President of the United States of America turned the five W's, turned the actual belief of news media being unbiased into a propaganda machine and eventually into a late night comedic joke. The media are out for blood, Mr. President. Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero et al., faces a very serious impeachment of his presidency. That bell is tolling, Mr. President. It is time to come clean with the American people. It is time to tell the world who you really are. And with that said, we run to about 10 minutes before the hour. And we've come through a long way through the information tonight, dealing with local information, of course, and then moving through into United States, Canadian, British, European, Middle East. My God, we've been all around the globe. And if you notice, there's an absence of information coming out of Australia and down into the Asian Pacific. But all is not well over in the Asian Pacific. They're still dealing with pirates. Really, pirates. Arr, oi, oi, matey, arr, oi, oi, oi. You know, pirates. And they're still dealing with terrorists in the jungles in the Philippines. They're dealing with radical elements in and throughout the Muslim world in Asian Pacific. And then, of course, you've got China and Japan rattling swords at each other over disputed islands, which are probably going to be underwater within 50 years. But it isn't so much the island. It's what's underneath it. Oh, yeah. That good old mountain crude. Yeah, black gold.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
And that's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about money, you know. In the Bible, it says that money is the root of all evil. And everybody scoffs at it because you have to have money to survive. Well, think about it. Money being the root of all evil. Imagine the amount of money that could be spent on the cure for cancer, or lupus, or ALS, or 1,000 different diseases and afflictions. Imagine the money that could be spent on that instead of spending on military missiles. Imagine the trillions of dollars that could be spent on the hunger and the poor and the infrastructure of this world and the exploration if we didn't have to worry about a missile landing in our backyard tomorrow morning. Imagine the money we would save and the society we would grow if we no longer lifted our hands and weapons to the enemy. Imagine if everybody could be at peace, and peace would create the sufficiency. Imagine if that was possible. Imagine. Now, here in Canada, when the Prime Minister of Canada decides it's time for an election, which is usually how it works, he has 5 years, but usually they drop the writ, as they say, on a surprise election to get the jump on the opposition. But anyway, so here in Canada, when they drop the writ, they have 90 days to campaign. 90 days, 3 months to campaign, to get their word out to the Canadian people, to reach, touch, and meet as many people as possible. 90 days. And in that 90 days, they will campaign their little hearts out, and at the end of that, we will have a vote, and there will be a Prime Minister of Canada. In the United States of America, they have, used to be a year, now it's 2 years, and sometimes 3 years, and Barack Obama, frankly, went into straight campaign mode the moment he won the re-election. Campaign not for himself, but for the DNC. That's the problem, and that's the issue. Campaign mode is automatic. Look at the billions of dollars that was spent with Romney and Obama, and the 403s and 404 CPACs, you know, and all of that. Look at the trillions of money that is wasted on political pundits. Do you feel any brighter because they pound you with political adverts every 8 minutes on prime time? Do you feel any better for the information that you get from the rating whore media who puke out whatever the White House tells them to talk about? Does it get you anywhere? No. There has to be restrictions. The spending restriction must kick in. Not only must they not be able to spend billions of dollars for a job that pays $500,000 a year, because you know something don't quite sit there, does it? That makes perfect sense. So, yeah, you got problems in River City, but every country has their own problem. Nobody is perfect, most certainly not Canada or the United States or England. But we are in the land of the free. The land of the free, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.
In the dead of night, when all is dark and all your daytime worries creep over you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls. In the dead of night, when all is still, who will you be tonight? And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
we
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard and we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who
have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio.